This episode of Stars and Characters brought to you by Stylin' Online T-Shirts and Accessories. Stylin' Online offers hundreds of Star Wars T-Shirts, vintage reproductions, humorous shirts, classic logo and character shirts, and much, much more. Stylin' Online also offers a huge variety of shirts and accessories from TV, movies, sci-fi, horror, anime, cartoons, Disney, gaming, and music. To check out Stylin' Online's huge collection of Star Wars T-Shirts and more, visit our website at www.swic.neozaz.com and click on the Stylin' Online link on the front page. Ass, you're all assholes.
This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the characters in the Star Wars universe you probably never noticed. Backstories, histories, and details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Today we are talking about the Gonk Power Droid.
What does he say? What did he
I was
say?
Just going to ask you that. What's he say there?
It's called a Gonk Droid, but he says like a bunch of other stuff.
Why is he saying his name in his own sentence?
Chris.
He refers to himself in the third person.
I think he's actually saying, I think they write it out on Wikipedia, the Gonk Kukayangasi.
Yeah, it's under his quotes, under his name on the Wikipedia page.
Yeah, go. It's like Gonk Kukayangasi. Something like that.
Well, this
it's like hearing Tim say that over and over again. Someone acknowledges it.
The Gonk Power Droid appears in, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. Episode 4, A New Hope. Episode 5, Empire Strikes Back. Episode 6, Return of the Jedi.
No.
Yeah.
Way.
Okay.
Now, did anyone here sit and try to find him in all the movies?
Nope.
Me neither. Okay.
I still can't find him in episode 1 other than just standing in the background.
That's probably it. I mean, he's probably just goes by or something.
Well, that's what it often is, I think, is just him. It's, to use Tim's word, to make it Star Wars-y.
Isn't he the one that gets...
Oh, I thought you were going to use EUE.
All you have to do is stick him in the background and your goal.
Yeah.
Get ready for these clever names here. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
These are all from the Gonk Power Droid Wikipedia page. I change up. Ready for this?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
My name is Chris Colt of the Power Droids. This comes from the thing called the Cult of the Power Droids.
Thanks. Thanks for that explanation. Couldn't figure that out from the name.
A religious act solicited by rogue Gonk Power Droids.
What?
Oh, you'll find out all about it. Don't
See,
worry.
Dave,
that's true.
Today I'm joined by...
Moink. Moink Droid.
And Matt Ignition Droid.
Instead of ammunition?
Correct.
Look okay. At you!
And that was from Battlefront games.
Right.
Ah.
Right. This one's stupid, Dave. I apologize. To my right.
Yeah. Yes, because the other two were gold.
This one's worse than those.
Oh, wow.
To my right.
Gonk Droid Dave.
Oh, you got it. Cloak of Daveception.
Dave, you're becoming increasingly evil with these names.
I like that one.
And
actually.
All I know is that it's a book that the Gonk Droid was mentioned in.
I don't care about books.
Me neither.
Or librarians.
And Gonky Tim.
Hmm? But what?
What?
It's the language that they speak.
Won't you take me to Gonky Tim?
Gonkian is the language.
Gonk, 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 gonk.
Good.
Go ahead, Dave.
Na, 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 na. No, 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 no. Do the funky town. Go ahead. Gonk, 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 gonk.
Are you okay, ready? He sounds like a bunch of them.
Okay, that's terrible.
That's terrible.
You went to the world too many times on that one, Chris.
Yes, you did.
Cloak of Daveception.
Yeah.
Give us some facts about.
Oh,
that's pretty cool. That guy.
Well, the Gonk power droid. Or, you know what? I'm not calling it the Gonk power droid. It's a power droid to us, right?
To us, yes.
That's right.
We're old dudes. It's the power droid.
Yes, it is.
Forget this Gonk. And when you see it Gonk, it's not even Gonk. It's G-N-K.
That's why I spell it. Why? Is there an omis?
Yeah. There
okay.
Well, the Gonk power droid, or the power droid.
Or the box droid.
No.
Oh, that's my daughter calls it that.
I don't care.
Okay.
The box droid.
You know what? It was manufactured by the Veril Line Systems. Okay.
Of automatons, or however you say that word that we discussed two episodes ago?
I say
automatons. That's it. Oh, I said it right. Shit. No, I fucked it up. I fucked that joke up big time.
They actually are automaton knockoffs of the EG6 power droids.
Oh, so these are like the Chinese i9 iPhone knockoffs.
Okay. And basically all they were was kind of what Chris said. They were kind of like roving power stations, and they could understand, you know, simple commands, but they really were basically for if you needed like a generator and you're out in the middle of nowhere. You had these droids.
I'm sorry. Music must just be stuck in my head because you said he's a roving power station. I heard was some like it hot and some sweat when the heat is on.
It's on.
And like Chris said, in the Battlefront video games, which I still play to this day, even though they're on the old Xbox, that's what they did. If you stood next to one of them, they'd give you ammunition. And that's basically all they did.
These guys are basically batteries with feet.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's a good way to play.
And now trivia.
I like that.
That explains why all my rechargeable devices disappear. They just have grow feet and walk off.
Walk away real slowly.
Yeah.
But basically, it was called, like I said, the power droid to us older guys, people in their late 30s, you know, early 40s, until about 1993.
I appreciate you throwing that 40s in there just for my benefit, Dave.
You're welcome. When people started to call it the Gonk droid because of the noise that it makes. And it caught on, and that's what everybody calls it now. I mean, it kind of pisses me off.
I always thought I thought it was either people calling it the Gonk droid. This is the first time I saw Gonk power droid. I thought it was like one or the other, like people were calling it, not both at the same time.
Right.
I always called it the power droid.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, even to this day, it's like I know it's called the Gonk droid, but when I look at it, I still say power droid.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
It's like Walrus Man and Forlom.
And it has to be the most easiest like costume to like wear just to put this on and walk.
Have you guys seen people at conventions?
We have seen a few of the
disagree with that. I think if you're of how should we say average height, this is a very difficult costume if you want to pull it off screen correct.
That's a good point. I didn't think of the real world. I thought of when they hired all the little people to do this stuff.
At the Star Wars celebrations, they have a droid builders room, and there's always people who have made their versions of the power droid here.
Yeah.
Basically, it looks like two trash cans that were sort of cut at a certain point and then sort of glued together and then have just an interesting paint job on top of it.
Now, when they do these at these things, is it like a remote control thing? Is there actually like a little person in it?
I remember Tim even said, I remember someone had a costume where it was like two Tupperware Walmart containers and he was inside walking around. But there's people who actually have these like made, and I think they're mechanical, and I don't think there's a person in there.
I've never seen one move, like a robotic ones, but yeah, we've definitely seen smaller people wearing these. I don't know if they hire a kid to put on this thing.
Dad, I don't want to wear this. Do it.
Put it on, Jimmy.
Don't you mean Luke?
This is important.
Because I'm sure Chris did that. I'm sorry.
Pretty soon.
I'll put this on our Facebook page because it's not my website pick, but in my search for a website pick, there's this hilarious picture of this guy who made a costume, and I guess he just gave up on the whole trying to be the correct height and just made like the full size legs. So you see a Gonk that's like the legs go for 4 feet, and then the rest of the droid. It's hilarious looking.
It's like those tall Jawas that we see.
Except this power droid is like 75% leg.
Well, as far as when you see them in the movie, like Chris said, it's several times. The most notable time is in episode 4 when we all saw it for the first time.
Yeah.
Now, they're the one that's there, the one that we assumed is the power droid, the action figure that we're going to talk about later as well. It's in the Sandcrawler when 3PO and R2 are kind of getting their bearings right before they are sold. And you see it. And it, you know, the sound effect that Chris has been playing, and the doors open as the Jawa are coming in to get everybody ready for the sale, and it actually turns and runs away.
Yep. Yeah, that's right, it does,
which is hilarious. But there are 7 droids for sale at the Lars homestead that day, none of which are a power droid, and the reason why is because they already have one. In the scene where Beru is telling Luke, you know, Luke, you know, tells him about the bocce. When she's standing down in their living room or whatever the hell that is, there's a power droid walking behind her, and it's blue, and it looks very much like the action figure that we had as children.
Hmm. Now, I was going to bring this up when we started talking about the action figure, because that looks like a – I don't know if it's the same – design as the Gonk droid, as I'm looking here on the thing, that actually looks like almost like a completely different design. It looks closer to what the action figure looks like.
Yeah, exactly.
That one had the European standard inputs on it.
It's difficult to see because it's walking behind that little spire. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to get a good look at it, but it looks very different than the other ones that we see throughout.
Yeah. Well, you figure they're out in the middle of the sand. They have to have these things. I mean, they're almost necessary,
right,
to the Star Wars universe. Like at Hoth, you know, there's not just like cable running through everywhere and electricity and on Tatooine. They're everywhere, and they serve a purpose.
Well, I don't know. You think a planet with 2 suns would have mastered solar power at this point?
Never thought about that.
But don't
that.
These things need to be charged, you think? Like, do they have to go somewhere and get charged up?
Those legs are corduroy, so they create static. That's why they're always walking around.
Yeah. Well, maybe the power droid themselves are solar powered, and they're constantly recharging.
Could be. Yeah, instead of that's a good bridge between all these theories, because then you don't have to run the cables. Like Dave said, however, you are taking advantage of having twin suns.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if you need a large amount of power quickly, large amount of power fast enough for these guys to walk to it.
Yeah. Faster than stringing 700 extension cores together.
Take your time.
Yeah, maybe that's really where these guys come in handy, is they can release more power in a short period of time than a solar panel can pull together in that same amount of time.
That sounds good. Are we right, Dave?
You know what? You guys have put far more interest than anybody else has, because there is no backstory as far as, like, you know, their purposes. They're basically, like Tim said, they're walking generators.
They weren't formerly owned by Maximilian Windowaski or whatever his name was.
No, but like Chris said, they do pop up everywhere. I mean, even shortly after the scene at the Lars homestead, and Luke and Obi-Wan and the droids pull into Mos Eisley spaceport, there's one walking around there. There's some in the Death Star. They're on Hoth. And probably one of the other most famous uses of them is in Return of the Jedi, in Jabba's torture.
Yeah. It's a little bit sad.
It's a little sad, actually.
Screaming and crying almost in pain.
It's when you hear them say something other than gonk.
It's the no before the heat. Things don't get pressed on his feet.
Yeah, and the spokes out of his feet.
Yeah.
No.
And of all the special effects in Star Wars, that one's pretty bad.
That might be one of the worst, yeah. Especially by that time, because, I mean, you can be real forgiving watching New Hope, or as I like to call it, Star Wars, you know, just because it was the first in its age and its budget and history and whatnot. Yeah, that one might be one of the worst that stands out in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, they could have had that thing go all the way to the feet before the smoke started coming out of it. But and I only know this from Tim, because he knows crap like this. That wailing power droid is Ben Bird, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, it's good that they didn't call this the no. But yeah, I mean, you, like Chris said, you see them everywhere. They're in every video game. They're in pretty much everything.
Yeah.
And as Chris also said, they do speak Gonkian.
That's right, or Gonkian.
And I do have it here, what Tim was talking about. The complete translation, or at least what he's saying in that scene, is Gonk, 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 Ko, Kienga, Si.
Which means?
Which means nothing. It's a very... It's
not a translation.
Well, you're right.
I mean, the transcription?
It's very, you know what? It's very mysterious as to what he's saying because of the very next thing I'm going to tell you about, which is the cult of the power droids.
Oh, boy.
They're everywhere. Mm.
What he said is not even allowed to be legally translated.
Oh, my God.
In the Star Wars universe. That's how mysterious this is.
That's right. I heard it.
He's really saying, oh, shit. They're going to sell me to these.
Correct. But all it would take is one person to break the law, and then we'd all know. So yeah. I find it hard to believe that in this entire universe, there hasn't been that one person who goes, you know what it actually means? It means I want a hot dog.
I know what he's saying. He's looking at the new acquisitions on the Sandcrawler and going, ass, 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 you're all assholes. And he walks away.
I thought you were going to go ass, ass, mouth.
No. No, I was not.
Wait, I think I hear it here.
Which is why that's not legally allowed to be translated.
That's right.
I like that one better. And not trivia.
Well, you know, sometimes they don't even admit this whole thing is very mysterious. After the Battle of Endor, this is after everything settles down in the Star Wars universe, there started to be rumors being spread around about something called the Cult of the Power Droids.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what would happen. Now, picture yourself in your house, or if you're Yoda, your tree trunk, or wherever the hell you live, and two Gonk droids come and knock on your door.
How they knock?
Okay.
They knock on our
I'm
door.
Already have a problem
knock
with this.
Knock on our door.
I guess they just kick it. I don't know.
I've been waiting for you.
So they come to the door, and they ask.
Who
don't
is
ask
it?
Me how they ask, because they're speaking Gonkian.
Do they go, Candy Graham?
Flowers, ma'am.
Flowers, ma'am.
And they ask for money to fund their religious group. But that's all they do. They come to the door, they ask for money, and all you have to say to reply to them, to let them know that you're in the know and you're part of the cult of the power droids, is Gonk, 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 Ko Kienga Si.
This is the best story ever. Where are they putting money in their pockets?
I don't know. All
right.
But what if you don't know that? Do they just keep pestering you for money?
I guess.
we gotta have Doug Photoshop one of these holding a briefcase at a front door and knock it away.
Well, as far as gonk droids go in the movies, that's basically all people know about them. They're kind of mysterious when you thought that it was just like a walking box.
Do you think there's somebody inside this?
You mean like a
You mean like, wait, do you mean as an actor or as in if it were real life?
In the movie wise, like the thing, maybe like that's a mask, like this is like a helmet kind of thing.
I don't know, but
there's a person inside that.
Oh, yeah. You don't think there's a person inside that thing?
Yeah. You know what
sure.
I mean? Like, a robot, or is there a person inside? Wait, this is just the mask.
I'm so confused. Are we talking?
In the Star Wars.
You mean
universe,
if the Star Wars galaxy was real?
Correct.
Is there a okay? No, I think it's all supposed robot? To be all droid, all robot. I think so.
Okay.
But there could be the cult of the power droid could have people inside costumes.
And they must have, even if there isn't in the robots, they must have some kind of consciousness, almost like IG-88.
Mm.
To have a cult and a religion at all. Like, there's not much on them, and I'm far more interested in these droids than I ever thought I would be because of this stupid cult.
Now, what fascinates you more, the cult of the power droid or those Bantha-worshipping people we heard about a few episodes ago?
I think these, because it's a machine.
I'll give you that. I agree with that, too.
Now, this cult, do you think that they are they autonomous? Are they without owners? Or do they like have their day job where they're working for their people and late at night they zip out and start knocking on doors?
Well, they're described as you guys call them, automatons, as I call them, automatons. They're described as that at the outset of their backstory. So I don't know. I mean, I'm willing to put pen to paper and write a whole nother backstory a la Mav Krim over these power droids, because I was like, yeah, you know, this is kind of like straightforward. And then I read that and I got really interested, and it just stops.
Yeah, I'll agree that their backstory creates more questions than it answers.
Now, if you're listening out there and you know more than we do about this, please let us know, because I'm willing to join this cult at this point.
Knocking door to door wearing two, you know, buckets.
Buckets. But like, you know, like we said, you wanna Star Wars-y up your junk, you put them in there, they're in everything. And my son and I play the Star Wars Lego games all the time. There's even a, you know how you get enough money, not money, call them studs on there. You get enough studs, you can buy like extras. One of the things is you can make your power droids super power droids, and they walk around real fast.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I was going to say, I actually go out of my way to turn around and kick those over, because they're so funny when they're on their side kicking their legs.
Yeah.
They're actually also listed as one of the top 10 most unlikely action figures ever made.
I disagree.
Why?
I remember that when that figure came out and you could just put the legs back and forth, how it clicked constantly.
Yeah.
And that, Tim, yeah. And it was just so much fun just to hearing the legs click.
All right, well, let's talk about the action figure. They were in the second wave in the 1978 Kenner Vintage line. And they were released on all the cards. It's Star Wars, Empire, and Jedi. And like we've already mentioned, it was a blue hunk of plastic with stickers on it, two black ribbed legs with the silver feet, and the rubber antenna. This was pretty ambitious for an action figure for 1978. Many moving parts, extra parts, and, like Chris said, a sound effect.
Yeah. I was going to say when we were first talking about it, I'm like, oh, well, it's obvious why they made it, because it's a cheap profit. But is it really? The stickers are cheap, but then you're right. It's got more mechanics than most of any of those figures had.
Yeah. It's one of those things, too, that like we've talked about this a lot lately with Walrus Man and Greedo and Hammerhead, how they didn't look like the guys in the film. And I always, once I really paid attention to this stuff, I always kind of felt that way about the Power Droid until today.
Yeah.
When I saw that one walk in behind Aunt Beru, and he pinched her ass when he went by. And it's blue. I think it has dark legs. It looks a lot like that friggin' action figure.
It's even got two little specks of orange paint where it looks like there's two red, maybe orange lights on the side. Because there's a great still shot on this website I'm looking at of that scene.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's pretty good. Now, I find it hard to believe. Like, why would they concentrate on that one and not the one that makes the noise and is on screen more often? But Chris has here the updated version. Go ahead, Chris. You're even doing the sound effect for Matt.
Hey, you ready? Here's it walking.
Ooh.
And this is the one that looks exactly like the one in the movie. And you push the button on the side and the legs move. But the damn thing, when you're not moving the legs,
it doesn't. Yeah, we'll have to take a photo of this.
It doesn't stand up.
Oh, really?
It's kind of stupid when you get down to it, actually. It looks
it's
like
leaning, it's going
to
fall over forward, or it doesn't stand on that leg.
Yeah, it looks like it's bowing.
Yeah. It looks like it's bowing. It's saying, give me some money.
Give me some money. Or say the magic words. The thing that, the other thing, now, this is for like diehard collectors, and I don't know how you guys feel about this. You guys have some of this stuff. There was a thing about the packaging of the original Power Droid that made some of them very valuable, and it had to do with how they were positioned inside the bubble.
Mm.
Do you guys have any of these like still in the package?
No, man.
No.
Some of them face the left and some of them face like in towards the image of the Power Droid.
I guarantee you people have, you know, all those, like each position.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's nothing different about the figure. It's just that some of them were facing it the wrong way inside because it was hard, I guess, for them to get that in that stupid little bubble. But
it's a pretty deep figure, I guess, from front to back.
Yeah. Yeah.
The box droid.
Yeah. They had to have it facing sideways.
Yeah.
Now, you guys go to these conventions and stuff. Have you ever had an autograph of a little person that claimed they were inside a...
There is one story. This is going back to probably... maybe a month before episode one came out, Chris and I heard that Warwick Davis was going to be at a convention up in New York City. This is by the people that used to run the Big Apple Comic Cons before Wizard bought it out. It was in a church basement, and I'm blanking on the guy's name. We always called him Steven Tyler. But we drove all the way up to New York City to get Warwick Davis's signature. But when we got there, we drove all the way up there. It's about a 2-hour drive from where we lived. We got up there, we parked, we walked over to the thing, and the show had not opened yet. And Steven Tyler came out, and he was yelling, and he mentioned that Warwick Davis had canceled. But they had the very first episode one actor signing autographs. The guy's name was Ray Griffiths, and they claimed he played the Gonk droid in episode one.
Yep.
And we went into it, and we went up and we saw the guy. He's a little person. And he had one picture of a Gonk droid. And Chris and I were both like, this guy's full of shit.
Yeah, he's a janitor here. He wasn't in the movie.
Yeah. He's just the little person janitor here at the thing. So we didn't get it. And I remember I didn't want to leave without an action figure or without an autograph. So I did get one autograph. I got Gerard Christopher, who was one of TV's Superboys at that convention. But we walked away without any Star Wars. And I did buy an Aunt Beru action figure. I do remember that too.
Well, have you guys gone back to research this guy? Like, you left the convention, you got home, you got on the computer. Did you check if this guy was legit?
I don't think we saw a real name or real.
His name shows up on IMDb.
Uh-oh. As
it says Gonk droid, but he also as Kenny Baker's stand-in.
Was he ever in any Bollywood musicals?
I don't know. He was a little blonde person.
Oh, so that wasn't him who signed your Attack of the Clones poster?
No. I have seen him. He's represented by Warwick Davis's talent management, Willow Management, which specializes in roles for little people, and actually they also have roles for extra large people too. So he shows up on there. So I have no doubt that he had something to do with the production, but I've seen episode one more times than I have fingers and toes, and I've never seen a Gonk droid walking. It's always just been in a prone position, basically.
So you guys feel bad now that you didn't get him on your thing? I mean, you guys are completists.
A little bit. I mean, if we get other people who weren't in the movies, why not? You know.
I have a feeling he had something to do with the movies, but I've never seen him back doing conventions in the United States. We missed out, and this has been going on 13 years since we last saw this guy Ray Griffiths.
Well, as far as the power droid goes, to pull a Tim, that's all I got, and I got ain't guts no more.
Is that what Tim says?
No.
And I have nothing more to add to that.
Thank you.
I ain't got shit to say.
I will say this. They said that the Gonk droid was a knockoff of the EG-6 power droid.
Mm-hmm.
That is the power droid that we see in episode one getting knocked over by Jar Jar Binks. That's an EG-6 power droid.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I thought that was the EG-7, but I take your word.
It looks very much like an EG-7.
Wow.
Do you have a website, Matt, that's cooler than this whole podcast?
No, it's not cooler than it. This is another one of those, you know, characters where it's like they get little moments here and there. They don't have a full website. So I actually found a Tumblr page that had a lot of... I guess a lot of interesting pictures, some not so interesting, so it's a mixed bag. So instead of having to, you know, pull together 50 different websites myself, Tumblr already did it. So it's a tumblr.com/tag/power-droid, and that'll be in our show notes. And it's got, like, the figures and homemade stuff and costumes and custom Legos and fan art. And, you know, it's got, like, you know, about 50, 60 different things to do with the power droid. So, and they're all from different sources, all here. So instead of me having to do that, which is something I normally do when I can't find a full site, I just took the Tumblr link and use that.
Hey. I'll take it.
I'll take it.
Good, because that's all I got. Oh, hey, I didn't mean it, but there you go. That's all I got.
Well, Dave?
Yes.
Is it time?
It is time. Time for Imperial Pursuit.
Yay, Imperial Pursuit.
All right, so the scores are like this.
Chris, yes.
You're still in last, but you're coming back.
I got 5 last time.
You're at -8.
Yeah.
And then I'm next with -1. And then Tim with 5 and Matt with 8. We still got a long ways to go, so anything can happen.
Yes.
Chris, are you ready?
I might take back my 5 betting at each time now.
Yeah?
Yeah, maybe I'll try to come in third.
That's your goal, third?
Maybe better than dead last, yeah.
Okay. All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Your category is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Ooh, Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan.
I'm getting too old for this sort of thing.
All right.
How many?
That's the original. That's original Murtaugh.
Too old for this poodoo.
What I can pay?
You have -8.
I want to go for
5.
I'll go for 2.
All right, so you're going to take baby steps.
Baby steps.
Baby steps towards 0. Okay.
Move along.
Here's your question.
Yes.
Obi-Wan Kenobi was said to have lived beyond what geographical marker on Tatooine?
Yeah,
Obi-Wan Kenobi was said to live beyond what geographical marker on Tatooine?
If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
You have -8. I don't think so.
Behind the green door.
Ooh.
Dave.
That's no moon.
Pull your pants up.
Out of jump.
My ass is a space
station.
I have
no idea. That's what I like to call it.
Look at the size of that thing.
That's what I like to call it.
Sailor Full Moon.
Sailor Full Moon.
Does anyone else out there know this?
Everybody else out there knows this.
Every person listening to this right now is calling.
How about you,
you
guys?
My dog knows this.
The Bark Sea.
Kenobi was said to live beyond what?
Yeah, I remember something that was mentioned, but I'm just drawing a blank here. Okay. The Dune Sea.
You're taking a shot with beyond the Dune Sea.
Someone just walked in.
Hello there. Somewhere
hold on.
Beyond the Dune Sea.
For the second show in a row, you have pulled an answer out of your ass. And that is correct.
Should have bet 5.
Yay.
Beyond the Dune Sea is correct.
I am smart. S-M.
See, you always say you don't know, but then you get it. Like, you have this information in your subconscious.
But sometimes I just am just stupid.
You know, I think your problem is you go into the question before you even hear it, thinking you're not going to know the answer, and you've already convinced yourself.
You can't win.
In baseball, he would always get up. I'm going to strike out.
So exactly. I should have bet 5. Oh, well, fuck it. I'd bet 2.
Yeah, you're at -6.
You got to take my attitude and go into every question going, I don't fucking care. Whatever.
All right, Tim, it's your turn.
All right.
Tim at +5. Your category is Chewbacca.
Tim bet 5.
See, I like Chewbacca, but he's not a character that I really pay a whole lot of attention to. I'm going to say 3. 3 for Chewie.
Here's the answer, okay? There you go.
Is that spelled with a K or silent R?
Oh, they're both in there.
So you're betting 3.
Yes.
In Return of the Jedi, Tim,
mm-hmm.
How much did Jabba the Hutt offer to pay for Chewbacca?
Ooh.
Oh, man.
Is that Elvis? What was that?
Sound effect.
I know a bunch of numbers were said. Math is tough. A bunch of numbers were said.
Math is for whores.
You sound like the Sons of Lambs dude.
Our lambs for family. Whores.
Jeez, I'm going to have to say 35,000 credits.
That's stupid. I have no idea.
35,000, you're saying?
Yeah, I know that there was some bargaining going on. I want to say 35.
Okay, and what did you bet?
3.
You are down to 2, Tim.
Oh.
The answer is 25,000.
25?
Price is Right?
Yeah, it's a Price is Right.
Okay.
Or supposed to be.
I can't remember where the numbers went. I think she started with 50 and then...
Tim.
Maybe she said 35 notes.
I am disappointed.
It hurts. A little bit.
25. All right, Matt.
Yes, sir.
You're in the lead. And your category is the planets.
Ooh. What am I in the lead by? I don't even know what I got.
You have 8, and now Tim is down to 2.
Oh, you bet 5. And if you lose, you tie him.
I'll go with 2 again. 2 worked for me last time.
You go with 2 again. Darth Vader in Return of the Jedi had received reports that the Rebel fleet was massing near where?
Oh.
Ooh.
Here's a weird fact I know, but I can't think of the name. I know it's Nine Numb's home planet, thanks to this show. Sullust.
You're shooting with Sullust.
Yes.
How many did you bet?
2.
Matt's up to 10.
Good.
Oh, that's good.
The show is beneficial.
Yeah.
Very nice job.
Man.
That was a 4-point swing.
It was. All right, Dave.
Yes, I am ready.
I am looking.
Mm-hmm.
I am, okay. I'm looking.
I gotta get back on the positive side here.
Okay. Let me just find the answers first.
Whatever it is, I'm betting 3 because I want to at least be tied for second.
Well, your category is original trilogy characters.
Maybe a bit more.
Let me just find the answer here. You can think why I look.
All right, Tim's at 2, Matt's at 10.
Why do you always leave Chris out there like he's not a threat?
Because I'm not a threat.
Yeah, you know what? You're at -6. If I bet 5 and get it wrong, I'm tied with you.
Do it.
Should I?
Yeah.
All right, I'm doing it. I'm doing 5.
Now, when you have this thing highlighted, it means we didn't ask it yet, right? I don't think I'm marking off anything when I ask a question.
Well, last time you asked me a question that we had used at Philadelphia, and I was an honest guy. And
you were.
Said that we had done it, and I should get a new question, and I promptly got it wrong. So, if I've heard it before, I will let you know.
All right, this is this question is from A New Hope.
Okay.
How many Tusken Raiders raided the unconscious Luke Landspeeder?
Oh.
Is that a sex thing?
Raided. Good word for what?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm picturing them in my head and knocking them down, and then the sticks the gaffy stick up in the air, and then it goes backwards. I'm going to say 3. I'm going to say
3. Okay.
Did you count all of them? Because Dave?
Yes.
You were correct.
Whoa.
5 points, baby. You were hoping I was going to get that wrong, so you had company, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm all alone all by myself.
All right, well, the scores are like this then. Chris, -6, but getting closer.
It is.
Then Tim with 2. Then I have 4, and then Matt with 10. Hope you're enjoying playing along and are being as successful, or at least somewhat successful as some of us are being.
Should we mention the big celebration 6?
No, I think we should completely ignore that because it's uneventful.
We have been accepted as actually have our own fan table at Celebration 6 in Orlando the end of August.
That's not at all what we're doing. Do you have any idea what we're doing?
No.
We're not having a fan table.
What are we doing?
Fan panel.
We're doing
event.
Show.
We're on this. We're not even in a room. We're on a stage.
There's probably a table on the stage though.
Large table.
We're doing a live show. Burlesque.
You can do it.
No, you do it. I want to hear you. I want to hear you say something.
I got to go take a shit.
What?
I'll be right back.
I want to hear your description of our fan table.
No. I was sit here and I will hear Matt just describe it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God. Is there any of the work in this I don't have to do?
I got to take a shit. I'll be right back.
Oh, man.
I can't do that for you. Did he really leave?
No, I'm here. Oh. No, I'm not going anywhere.
Right. You want me to do it again?
Yeah, because you know what's going on.
Well, you still don't know what's going on?
A little bit.
Seriously?
A little bit. Tim can describe what's going on. Go ahead, Tim.
All right. Yeah, we are going to have a an event in the fan room at Celebration 6. It's going to be the ultimate Star Wars character face off. Am I getting the title right, Matt?
It is the title we submitted was the official title is the Star Wars Obscure Character Face Off.
Face Off. And it's going to be an interactive event with us and hopefully a large room of people who want to come. And through debates and audience participation, we are going to crown the greatest of all obscure characters in the Star Wars universe.
That was a good way of putting it, Tim.
See, Tim gets it.
Yeah. He has it all written down.
We are still working out the details, but we have plans for this to be a very fun, maybe even can use the word exciting, definitely an audience participation event. This is not just us talking for an hour. We are going to interact with everybody. In fact, I think what we do know is that I'm going to moderate this thing because we have a computer presentation that goes with it. So I'll be handling all that technical stuff while Chris and Dave are going to be fighting for each side of the characters. And Chris will be wandering around with everybody that decides to show up to the show, asking their opinion. And that should be, if you've heard Chris on the show freestyle, imagine him with a room full of strangers with no way to edit anything he says. So
if
that
I
should be
you,
interesting.
I apologize.
There you go. Yep.
You better not touch anybody.
Oh, watch out.
This event's going to be a lot of fun. And since we don't have a fan table, as Chris initially alluded to,
I will delete that.
This will be one of the few opportunities where you, our listeners who happen to be going to Star Wars, will be able to come to an event and meet all of us in person. Which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But
yeah, you just drove away 50 people.
Yeah, but we are looking forward to having fun with you guys who have made our show so successful and actually helped us get to Celebration 6. So this will be our opportunity to communicate with you face to face as well.
And you guys go to a lot of these things, right? It's mostly just people sitting at a table droning on about something.
Yeah.
There's not going to be any droning.
There's no droning, yes.
No, it's going to be you people listening who show up are going to be as much a part of it as we are.
I think they're going to be upset of how fun it was and how fast it's going to be.
That's my biggest fear, is that we're going to run out of time and we're going to have to cut some things, because that's what we're planning on now. I'm working on shortcuts to narrow things down if we have to.
And if all else fails, Chris will take his top off.
There you go.
I will.
This is for the lady.
Show a breast if necessary.
So
this is for the fellas.
We're definitely going to have a blast for this. And I do want to mention, I wrote some notes this time because my last pitch was pretty poor. I do want to mention that we have an Indiegogo site trying to raise money for it. And that money is for the things we're going to be giving away at the show, as well as some set dressings we'd like to do and some promotional materials to hand out before the show. Again, if we can raise the money, it doesn't affect the quality of the show. We're not going to hold anything back that we have planned. We're just looking to make it that much better and get the word out. So, as I said in the last episode, I hate asking for money, but I also hate asking for something for nothing. So we put a campaign on Indiegogo where we have the opportunity to give a different levels of contribution and give a perk, is what they call it, for your donation. So for each donation level, you will get something. If you want to learn more about it, I don't want to turn this into a half-hour pitch. I'll just say it's at Indiegogo.com/SWICC6. And the campaign is called Swick Goes to Celebration 6. So if you're interested, want to help us out, check that out. All the information's there in great detail, probably more to read than is necessary. But we certainly will appreciate anything anyone is willing to contribute. And believe me when I say this is all going into the show. Even if we go over our target. Even that overage will go into the show just so everyone there can, you know, benefit from everyone's contributions. And gosh, there's a word there I can't think of that is a good word, and I'll think of it after recording and kick myself. So there you go. That's a better pitch than my last one, but not much better.
Yeah, if there's extra money at the end than what we need, we'll just get more prizes to give y'all.
Exactly. Yep.
We're going right back to the show. I'm right back to the audience.
Yep. It's all going into this event. This is not going in anyone's pocket.
Yeah. So if you're going to Celebration, look for us on the schedule. I know it hasn't come out yet, right?
No, not yet. I mean, not as of this recording. The conversations, I've had more conversations with the person involved with setting us up now than I have leading up to it. So it may be on our Facebook page by now, but at the time of this recording, I do not have that information.
Yep. So get on our Facebook page for the latest updates. But as soon as that schedule comes out, find out when we're going to be there and come, because I can't think of anything that I'd rather do less than go to some panel and sit and listen to some dudes talk about how they did this and something 30 years ago. And then at the end, you get a free coaster. I mean, you're going to come and participate with a bunch of guys who like Star Wars, probably not as much as you do, but in some cases, yes. And you're going to get free stuff. You're going to have a good time, and you're going to leave at least experiencing something different than usually happens at these conventions.
It's going to be great. You can bring your kids. You can bring it your mother-in-laws.
You sure you want them to bring their kids?
Absolutely. This is going to be a friendly family event.
This will not be blue. This will be friendly family. So our sense of humor will be there, but our language will be checked at the door.
Tim.
But if you see us outside that panel, all bets are off.
As soon as you leave that room, watch out.
As you stand outside, we just say, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. Everybody that leaves.
Fuck, mother, motherfuck, mother, motherfuck, fuck, fuck, mother, mother, motherfuck.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Ass mouth.
Yeah, I'm so shocked they're even a part of this. Dave, pinch me.
Oh.
Thank you.
That's just an excuse to get Dave to pinch you.
Yeah, it is.
We'll believe it. We're going to go there and tear that convention a new asshole. But we won't say that when we're doing the thing.
We might say tiny hole. Well, we'd like to thank you for listening to our Star Wars character discussion about the power droid, Dave.
Thank you.
And we'll say it.
Gonk.
Join us next time when we discuss Daniel Fatoni.
Daniel?
That's L.
It's Daniel,
right?
Daniel.
It's not Daniel LaRusso.
Daniel Fatoni.
Daniel. Book him, Daniel.
Sweep the leg, Daniel.
Book him, Daniel.
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in Character episodes and information.